New Orleans is a grand city of music, food, and history, and as we all know, the birthplace of jazz. Since the 1960s, Preservation Hall has been a living embodiment of jazz origins in New Orleans. Two of its most typical and original performers were trumpeter Percy Humphrey and his brother, clarinetist Willie Humphrey. Percy and Willie come from a musical family that are part of a grand tradition stretching back over a century. Their music and lives embody a rich culture and lifestyle specific and unique to New Orleans. As prominent players in Preservation Hall Jazz Band for over three decades, the Humphrey brothers were ambassadors from the living traditions of New Orleans music to millions across the nation and worldwide. Hi, welcome to Jazz Rhythm, an exploration of the lore, culture, and personalities of early jazz. I'm Dave Radlauer. My very special guest this hour is Bill Carter, who knew Willie and Percy Humphrey intimately as a friend. He learned their music and absorbed their stories firsthand, and Bill has deftly portrayed the rich gumbo of New Orleans traditional jazz in his book, Preservation Hall, Music from the Heart. Welcome, Bill. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Dave.
I particularly wanted to ask you in since you became acquainted with Willie over the years.
Yes. Willie had a lot of humility, a lot of humor, and he read people very well, and he was very sensitive to the human vibrations going on in a band, in a room, with an audience, and also the musical vibrations going on. And I think if you hear this clarinet marmalade, you'll hear Willie really turned on and sailing over the ensemble in a wonderful way.
Thank you. Now, for our first selection of the evening, it'll be clarinet marmalade. Thank you.
This is a portrait of Willie and Percy Humphrey of Preservation Hall Jazz Band on Jazz Rhythm. Jumping swing, classic blues, and hot jazz, old and new. I'm Dave Radlauer. Born in 1900, Willie Humphrey had a musical career that spanned 80 years, dating from the early golden age of New Orleans in the legendary Silverleaf Orchestra. Then, in the early 20s, he was in Chicago with Freddie Keppard and King Oliver. Returning to New Orleans, he performed there for decades, eventually joining Preservation Hall Jazz Band in the 60s, touring the country and the world. It was shortly after his passing in 1995 that Bill Carter and I had this discussion.
When did you first meet Willie?
I think I met him in 1969. You have to say 19 because he was born almost in the 19th century. And I met him at Stanford when he was playing there with the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. I'd had a long interest in jazz and been a clarinet player like Willie, so I forged an automatic bonding with him as a clarinet player and also as a sort of a guru of the kind of jazz that we love from New Orleans.
So Willie had a big impact on your way of playing clarinet, would you say?
I played with Turk Murphy in the 50s and so forth, so I could play professional gigs and all the rest of it, but I'd worshipped the New Orleans guys since I was a kid. Even had their pictures on the ceiling of my bedroom so I could go to sleep looking at them. But when you study something from afar versus being close to a real master, you pick up stuff that is very hard. You can't write it down. You can't write jazz down on music. You pick it up between the lines, around the edges, in the vibes. And one of the things I began to understand was that jazz and life are not separate in New Orleans. We go at things from a kind of a survey course mentality when we learn from afar. That's far from the way the New Orleans guys do it. Willie and the Preservation Hall Band, they brought a whole party with them. I mean, they brought one guy who closed his restaurant in New Orleans and traveled to the band so he could cook for them in the way they were used to. It's a whole ambiance and a whole lifestyle. And you wander along the streets there and people, you see somebody sitting on the stoop and you say hi, and then you find out there's a party somewhere and you wander into that. Once you're kind of on the inside of New Orleans, beyond that invisible barrier that keeps the tourists at bay, the music really is part of that whole gumbo, Creole gumbo, as it were. Willie was really an interesting representative of the music because he stayed in touch with what was going on in New Orleans, back and forth all the time.
I think you've suggested next Willie's Cabbage Song with the vocal by Willie.
Yeah. This is just a blues. People give just blues as all sorts of names, but Willie was not only a wonderful, marvelous clarinet player, but he liked to sing, and he was a very warm human being. He went out to the audience very well, and it illustrates a song that there's always been the entertainment aspect of jazz, and some of the earliest musicians were out there traveling on the road with vaudeville-type groups. There's an edge to the music in New Orleans, which is a music for all occasions, entertainment. Get across those footlights, reach out to the people. Willie literally did this. He would reach his hand over the footlights on a stage in what would seem like the coldest community center auditorium, and he'd have those people in the palm of his hand. These were recorded in 1983, and one thing about this particular record is you can really hear Willie's tone. He had a very unique, an unusual tone, very hard to record. It's got a wonderful warmth, but it's got a biting edge to it at the same time. And also the cabbage shows his exquisite timing delays. Willie's playing is deceptively simple. The actual phrase, she just wrote down the notes he's playing, they might seem, well, so what's so great about that? But it was that placement, it was those little timing placement, little waver edge on the tone, very much like Louis doing very straight song like Hello Dolly. It's those tiny, tiny variations that really make it, and make it New Orleans as opposed to Chicago, New York, whatever. Thank you.
Anybody here would like to buy my cabbage, please holler hey. I got a gal upstairs, gal downstairs. My wife lives across the street and she's fast asleep. Anybody here would like to buy my cabbage, please holler hey. Anybody here would like to buy my cabbage, please holler hey. Yes, anybody here would like to buy my cabbage, please holler hey. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, show me a redhead woman whom a man can trust. Anybody here would like to buy my cabbage, please holler hey, hey.
Humphrey featured on vocal and clarinet in 1983 on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer having a discussion with Bill Carter, author of a definitive book on Preservation Hall, about longtime New Orleans jazz stalwarts Willie and Percy Humphrey. At least three generations of the Humphrey family were steeped in the history of music in Louisiana, dating back into the 19th century.
Professor, so-called James Humphrey, the grandfather of the guy we're talking about, Willie Humphrey, taught many musicians around New Orleans and in New Orleans in the late 19th century, including on plantations, and he taught many instruments. This was typical, but when you think of the times and the day, this was just in the generation or two after Civil War, and here's this guy, and I don't know how he learned. He was called Professor Humphrey because he was a music teacher, and he took his little satchel on the train and would go out to these outlying places. Then his son, who's Willie's father, was Willie Humphrey Sr., and he became a professional musician, was on the road a lot, playing reed instruments, clarinet. Then Willie, his son, learned from his grandfather.
Willie Sr. would have been active in the teens and 20s?
That's right. So he was gone a lot of the time, but his father taught Willie. That would be Willie's grandfather teaching Willie.
And Willie's first instrument was not clarinet, if I recall.
That's right, it was violin. And that's another typical thing in New Orleans. A lot of times there'd be a violin or a stringed instrument involved.
Before we go any further, let's get some music in with Willie and brother Percy, who played trumpet for so many years with Preservation
Hall. Mm-hmm. Percy Humphrey. Mm-hmm.
Percy Humphrey, with Sweet Emma Barrett, the Bell Gal and her Dixieland Boys, in 1961.
And interesting that Willie and his brother Percy played together something like 85 years. At that point, it wasn't quite so long. It was only 55 years in 1961.
Thank you.
Down in Honky Tonk Town, Sweet Emma Barrett and her Dixieland Boys from a now rare Preservation Hall LP, courtesy of my guest, Bill Carter, who is a clarinetist, author of Preservation Hall, Music from the Heart, and was friend to Willie and Percy Humphrey of New Orleans.
You know, I've always wondered, and maybe you know, or maybe you don't know, how ice cream got into the New Orleans repertory.
I don't know, but I know that, in general, street cries were a source of jazz, particularly of blues. Some of the early people that were around in the early days remember guys coming around in wagons in the streets with fish, and they would kind of sing a kind of a blues kind of like thing, advertising they were picking up bottles or selling whatever they were doing. Advertising in that way was the part of jazz in the early days. Guys would go around in wagons. They would hire a band to publicize a dance for that night. Ice cream, I'll just bet you there was an ice cream vendor in there somewhere, and they picked up the song, and it somehow stuck.
Sounds possible.
There's some funny stuff in the beginning. This is a concert in Minneapolis in October 64. It was one of the first times that the Preservation Hall band traveled and played in a really big concert. The audience was really primed and turned on, which I think you can kind of hear. In introducing Ice Cream, Percy is trying to be quite nice and proper and formal how he's doing it. The trombone player, Jim Robinson, kind of gets in a little quarrel with him, sub rosa, if you could probably hear it. And this is so typical of New Orleans guys. They call it humbug. Humbug in New Orleans is when a little grit gets between people. The emotions with these guys, these players, it comes straight out. And I think you can kind of hear it. And then comes Emma with her pile driver piano style on this. I'm not sure that piano was well tuned, but you can judge that for yourself when you hear Ice Cream. Willie is sailing along in this one as usual.
Great. Sweet Emma and her Preservation Hall Jazz Band on the original Preservation Hall Records issue.
Thank you. I'm going to play my trombone man's favorite number.
It's not mine. I ain't got no
favorite. Ice Cream.
The New Orleans classic, Ice Cream, Sweet Emma Barrett and her Preservation Hall Jazz Band, recorded live in 1964, featuring Sweet Emma on piano, Percy Humphrey trumpet, Willie Humphrey clarinet, and the legendary trombonist Jim Robinson. Helping us to explore the origins and traditions of jazz in New Orleans is Bill Carter, author of the book Preservation Hall. Bill has himself become an excellent New Orleans-style clarinetist and knew the Humphreys well. Our discussion took place shortly after the deaths of Willie and Percy in the mid-1990s. There's more about early New Orleans jazz and its origins at the Jazz Rhythm website, jazzhot.bigstep.com. Promotional support is provided by the Mississippi Rag. Information on this monthly publication about legendary and contemporary giants of traditional jazz and ragtime is at mississippirag.com. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for joining me for this first of three programs painting an intimate portrait of these two embodiments of New Orleans music, Percy and Willie Humphrey, who did so much to make Preservation Hall Jazz Band a beloved institution worldwide. As the series continues, we'll be learning about the street parades, church music, and wide range of cultural influences that shaped early jazz.